Have you ever climbed a ladder of success? Really worked hard at it, one rung after another? And when you got to the top, you realized it was leaning against the wrong wall? Now, what's that a failure in? Management or leadership? Management. Leadership. Management is climbing efficiently up that ladder of success. Leadership deals with, is it leaning against the right wall? Is that where you want to be? See, leadership deals with direction. Management deals with speed and efficiency and doing what's necessary to take that direction. Some people's lives are well managed, but poorly led. And sometimes the opposite. Well led, poorly managed. There are two different capacities. And I wanted to get across the sense that these next two habits deal with leadership and management. Both are extremely important, but always leadership first. Why? You want to know where you're going first before you discuss the issues of how to get there and before you implement your plan, see? Now, I'd like to use a term that I think is common and that you can relate to. Scripting. Scripting. We usually think of a script like a role that some people are given in a play and they learn their lines and so forth. Well, it's not too unlike that, really. We get scripted in our life, in our upbringing, and by the circumstances. The proactivity principle teaches us that we can rewrite the script. But until we rewrite the script, what script do we live out? The script we've been given by our upbringing, by other people's agendas, by the pressures of circumstances, or by maybe intergenerational tendencies, see, that we have just kind of absorbed and inherited, not just biologically, but culturally, socially. We get scripted. So if I'm serious about providing personal leadership to my life, begin every day with the end in mind. Begin every project with the end in my mind, with the values and where I'd like to be, the direction I want to go in. If I'm serious about that, and I recognize scripts that are in me, habits, old ways of doing things, old methods that are ineffective, you can see that I've got a problem. I've got to get out those old scripts and put new ones in. I've got to re-script myself. Now, really, this is not a far-out notion. If I were trying to become, let's say, a car mechanic, I would need to go and get some education and get some hands-on education as well until I understood the theory and the principles, and then I could gradually begin to develop the practices to find and fix problems. What is that process? I'm getting a new script. If I'm learning the language of Spanish, I would need to take a Spanish course, use it as much as I can, get with a Spanish teacher, use it, practice, back and forth. Gradually, I'm getting a script in my head. I've always been inspired by studying the life of Anwar Sadat and sensing the monumental contribution that he made in that Bold Peace Initiative, which eventually brought about the Camp David Accord. Here was a person who had been reared, nurtured, and deeply inbred in the script of hating Israel. In fact, he would make statements like this: I will never shake the hand of an Israeli as long as they occupy one inch of Arab soil. Never, never, never. And in huge congregations all around the country, as he would do this on national television, there would be the chanting, never, never, never. In other words, to marshal the energy and unify the will of a whole country in that script. And he knew it was a stupid script. Why is it stupid? Because they're interdependent. And to try to talk independently in an interdependent reality is like playing golf with a tennis racket. The tool isn't suited to the reality at all. And he knew it. So he re-scripted himself. He learned when he was a young man in a solitary confinement cell in prison Cairo Central Prison, cell 19, when he was a young man, to re-script his head. He drew heavily upon his own religious system and upon the practice of meditation and prayer. In fact, when you saw pictures of Anwar Sadat, you saw on his forehead a dark, heavier dark spot. That came from the daily habit of kneeling and putting his forehead on a pillow. And often it involved hours every day. He learned in that solitary confinement situation over a long period of time how to vacate an old script, how to leave it alone and write a new one. He learned how to build an internal resiliency toward anything that was happening to him. In fact, he was almost loath, he records in his autobiography, to leave the prison cell, because he realized that success is success with self. It's not in having things, it's in the mastery and victory over self. And even though he was happy to leave from the point of view of liberties, he was loath to leave the place where he learned so much about personal leadership, using my language now. But he did it. And over the years, he continued to practice his basic skills and his powers to re-script his head. For a period of time during Nassar's administration, he was relegated to a position of relative insignificance, and everyone felt that his spirit was broken. But it wasn't. They were projecting. They didn't understand Sadat. He was biding his time with a smile inside. When his time came and he became the president of Egypt, he re-scripted his head toward Israel. And then he visited the Knesset in Tel Aviv and proposed the peace initiative, which Begin responded to and led to the Camp David Accord. Really one of the great, some people could consider, miracles in modern political history. Coming out of an embroiled area where the feelings are so deep, so intergenerational.